got perspective, we got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, tonight.
All right. Hello and welcome to episode 191 of Geek Grills. Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons on www.patreon.com/grills. I am Ray, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ember.
Hi.
And Linda.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about NFTs. And I probably should have done this last month, but it's fine. It's fine. We know more now.
Yes.
All right. And before we get into that, what have you girls been up to?
Well, I lost my entire weekend to the vaccine side effects. Oh. So I got my second shot, and I got it on Friday. I was feeling okay. I went to work, and I was, you know, doing my job, and I've got, you know, a little bit of arm sore, and I was like, all right, I'm doing okay. And I got home, made dinner, made a little pineapple upside down cake. And then around 11:30 midnight, because I stay up late on the weekends. I was in here in my office, and I started shivering. My teeth started clacking. And I was like, okay. And so I put on like a jacket and I was like, that's all right. Maybe I'm starting to feel it a little bit. And I went to go to bed and I was literally shaking and my teeth are clacking and I was shivering so hard. My husband was starting to get worried about me. And I got ready for bed and I bundled up under the covers and had to tell myself to breathe in and out slowly because I was kind of hyperventilating. And he said, we need to take your temperature. And I said, I'm cold. How could I have a fever? Because it's been a while since I've been sick. And he says, put this in your mouth. He literally shoved the thermometer in my mouth. And gently. And I had 100-degree fever. And I was like, great. Over all of Saturday, I pretty much slept all day. My fever climbed, I think the highest it was 101.5. And at that point, we started basically putting cold compresses on my forehead and under my arms to get the blood flow to cool. Because that's how you can cool down, because that's a place on your body where your veins and your arteries are very close to your skin. We were able to get it back down from where it was the highest, but Saturday was not fun. I wasn't cold anymore. I kept having just these rolling waves of fever. I was, achy. My joints kept locking up. Fortunately, I only had nausea. Huh?
Which one did you get again?
The Pfizer? Moderna.
Oh, Moderna? Okay.
Yeah. Fortunately, the nausea only lasted until I got warmed up because I was actually nauseous from shivering so hard. It was, not fun. I kept, I would feel okay, and I would sit up, and I'd be like, nope, and lay back down. I did not have a fun time, but at the same time, I was like, this will be worth it. Once I get through all of this shenaniganery, I will be fine. It was just like, I had to when I wasn't sleeping, I just kind of had to focus on that and be like, once I get past this, I'm going to be fine. And then Sunday I was feeling better because my temperature was down. It was still above normal. And I wanted to get up and do things, But again, I would get up for a few minutes and walk around, and then I'd be like, I get like a wave of fever, and I'd be like, nope, gotta sit. I didn't want to sleep anymore. Like, I had slept almost the entire day Saturday, and my body was like, I don't have sleep meter anymore to fill. It's full. you can't sleep anymore.
I am well rested.
So I basically sat in my office with a jacket that I could put on or take off as the fever went up and down. But fortunately it like petered off and I was okay. But then like Sunday night, all of my neck muscles had just tensed up because of my muscles basically spasming and like being achy and awful. So I had to like I'd been taking ibuprofen every once in a while to try and like get the fever down a little bit. But that was before we did the ice packs. I dosed myself once more with ibuprofen on Sunday night and was like, please, I need to go to work tomorrow. Let me sleep. And that was enough to get the pain down so that when I went to sleep, my muscles relaxed. And I woke up with only a very, very slight little like headache at the back of my neck. And I was just like, all right, I think I'm okay now. But man...
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of people with some side effects, enough that I went and looked up percentages because I was curious, because I was like, seems a little more than half of the people I talk to are having, you know, getting knocked down pretty hard. And the data I found in a few articles, it looks like a good 60 to 80% of people suffer side effects. Mm-hmm. But in the, you know, 80, 85% of people, there were also like 25% of people on placebo did. So yeah, it probably works around about half the people are going to get hit pretty hard.
Which is going to be interesting because for the first round, my husband also got Moderna, but he didn't suffer like any side. Like I was achy and sore and I felt like a little unwell. Like I didn't want to do anything. I was lethargic after the first dose, but he didn't get anything. So I'll be interested to see if he gets like punched in the face by the second dose.
It's also individual, like between the vaccines and the people too. Cause I had a sore arm and my son who got Pfizer didn't even have a sore arm. And I've been hearing more severe side effects from the Pfizer than any of the other ones really.
Oh yeah. I think for me, the sore arm is just because I bruise easily. Like, you can't see it anymore, but on Sunday, there was just a bruise that stretched for about, I'd say, about 4 inches down my arm.
I think the sore arm is a lot like tetanus. It really depends where they hit you. Because I've had tetanus shots where I didn't notice, and I've had them where, like, my whole arm and neck hurt. I think it's where they hit the muscle, and this is an intramuscular.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I just, like, when I got the second shot, it was really interesting because... it immediately started to itch, which the first one didn't itch at all, but this one immediately started to itch, and I'm like, my muscles remember. They remember what happened last time. They're rebelling.
Aww.
But it's actually kind of sweet. My cat is with me right now, but she and the other cat were both, like, laying on me for about half the day. They were like, Mommy, are you okay?
Aww. That's good. They take care of you.
Yeah.
Nurse kitties.
But I did lose my entire weekend. I was like, I wanted to work on my upholstery project, but I should not have been around staple guns or any heavy machinery.
Right. Note to self, get all my cleaning and stuff done this weekend, since next weekend I might be incapacitated.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm half expecting that, especially with my autoimmune stuff, that next weekend I should probably just write off a couple of days.
Just in case.
Oh. Yeah, and my husband has a gig the following week, so he's good to go ahead and get his. He thought he had to postpone it, but might be a fun weekend here next weekend. Like, I should just stock up on pizza and chicken nuggets because the kids are going to be on their own.
That's what I told Scott. I was like, yeah, when I get mine at the Kroger, I'm just gonna grab some frozen meals for us that we could just shove in a microwave in case, and some soup in case we
yeah,
just
soup,
can't.
Soup definitely, because it was a chore to eat. I was not hungry, but I knew I had to eat something.
A fever would wreck me. I don't generally get fevers at all. I've had pneumonia and not run a fever. I'm one of those people that my temp normally runs low. I discovered when I was hospitalized and they had to take it so often. I was in there for days and I was like, my temp's always 96.6.
Yeah, me too.
So a fever
My
just.
temperature runs low, which is why the
Yeah.
fever was punk.
Yeah, you get to 99 and you're dying. Yeah.
Yep.
I was like,
So,
you don't have a fever. Oh, yes, I do.
yes, you.
So
But
anyway,
anyway, that was my weekend.
it was
How
your
about you
weekend. I'm
guys?
sorry it sucked. We found this new show. It came up recommended to us on Netflix, and I highly recommend it. I was wildly amused. My husband's like, we have to tell everybody about the show. I'm like, all right, not everyone is going to be as entertained by this as I am, but it's The Way of the House Husband. So it's an animated style thing, anime style. on Netflix, and it's hysterical. The premise is this guy was high up legendary fighter top dog in the Yakuza, and he quit, and he's a house husband, and he takes everything so seriously in that vein though. just and I want to
Oh,
be able to do this. I want to be able to go to the store and go, no, don't touch that. This is a better way to tell if a mango is ripe. That kind of over the top, but
yeah.
Is
people
that
in the
the
public would
picture
take
I
it wrong.
saw? Is that the picture I saw of the anime versus the live action? Because there's a comparison of this anime that a live action version of it where this guy is covered in tattoos and he's got scars all over his face, and it shows him delicately putting together a bento and making sure it's perfect.
Could be. It sounds like
I
him.
just heard of it, so I was like, oh, hey, somebody else recommended it.
Oh my
Nice.
God. I love it so much. I was oh, I just I laughed and I laughed and I and he goes around wearing an apron and everywhere, and then people see him and they're like terrified immediately, and he's just trying to grocery shop. And running into other people around town, one of the other crime family matriarchs now works in a grocery store, and just I loved it. I highly recommend it. I was super happy. I was like, oh, look, it's my people, because somebody in the tadpool recommended it today. And I was like, yay, I'm not crazy. Also planted a bunch of things in our garden. Our vegetables are coming along. We have got broccoli and zucchini in, and I planted all the seeds I saved from last year in peat pots. Well, not all of them, the squashes and the melons and the pumpkins. And hopefully they're viable, but if not, I still have time to get plants if they're not. So I got those going now. And then today I seeded beans and corn and Swiss chard. And what else? We put in, what did I say? Broccoli, tomatoes, zucchini, and cucumbers this weekend. And hops. Our brewery owner friend gave us a vine cutting from his hops. And we have this twine rigged up on the side of our shed. So we'll theoretically have hops growing like crazy, because I guess they go absolutely nuts. So I'm a little excited about that. Don't know what I'm going to do with them. Probably give them the brewery. The black tulips I have posted online, they're so beautiful. And there's three more almost ready to open, and they are so nice and black. You see things advertised in gardening stuff, and it's like, well, they'll probably just, they'll be purple, hopefully really dark, but these are pretty black. And even the purpley is like a deep, deep, wine. Oh, gorgeous. So I'm excited about those and them spreading and splitting. We have a few that, you can see they leaved, but they're not putting off buds. So that means those bulbs have already split. So that makes me happy, nerding out on plants. And right before the show, I watched Little Mike TV, but before that I was watching The Last Blockbuster.
Yes.
Did you? You watched it.
We watched that. Yep.
I never worked at a Blockbuster, but I definitely grew up in that era, and it was really tense for me. Like, I was pretty sure they got that license, but I didn't know, and I was like, "This is
sad,"
and I was all worried. I let myself get really caught up in it, but I totally get. It was interesting that it isn't Netflix that killed them, and not exactly.
I enjoyed that a lot. I actually meant to work on my comic about my time at Hollywood Video in the 90s. I just, like, the joke I had prepared, it hit flat with my husband. I'm like, well, fudge, this means I have to redo something else. And I'm like, the only other thing I could think of is, like, How We Met. And that, so I'm like, okay, well, I have to start all the way over, and my wrist already hurts for today. So I guess we're not doing it this week.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and it made me want to go. We have a Family Video here in my town, and it kind of, I haven't been over there in a few years, and it kind of made me want to, like, drag my kids and go there.
I have fond memories. Like, it's a mixture because I worked, like, that was my job from 16 to 18, and honestly, if I hadn't had such a terrible experience, I probably would have kept that job a lot longer, but I had one man decide he wanted to lose his and threatened to kill me over $3.50 and drove up with his pickup truck and his gun. Luckily, my boss, who was a ex-Marine, had just come in because I had unplugged the phones, because before that, this man just would not stop calling to yell at me about this $3.50 late fee all day. I had my first panic attack behind the register for one of our regulars, because it was like a Sunday morning. Like, one of our regulars came back and was like, oh, honey, are you okay? And, like, left and bought me lunch. To, like, try and call me. She was the sweetest woman. Like, I'm surprised I can't remember her name anymore. I used to, like, as soon as I got that morning shift, like, I knew her. She was in every day. But I'm like, after that, I'm like, no. No job is worth dying for, especially freaking late fees that I can't control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus.
It was bad. It was not a good thing.
Mm-mm.
But, yeah. Completely different. This awkward segue. Scott picked up our comics for us, which we haven't stopped by the store in a while, so we've had, I think, 2 months of comics to pick up. So I'm caught up on Batman Catwoman, which is really good, especially if you're a Bat-Cat fan like me. And because of that, they actually reference the woman from Mask of the Phantasm. I'm like, man, I have to re-watch that, because she is a pinnacle part of what's going on in that story. I'm like, oh no, I have to re-watch DC animated movies. Oh gosh, the terror. Like, honestly, like, Marvel can take live action, DC animated films for the most part, mwah.
I have noticed that, like, there's a lot of very good DC animation.
Yep.
They're just kind of stumbling a tiny bit with the live action.
Yeah. let's see. I did finally stream on Twitch. Gasp, it's been months. It's Haunt of a Boyfriend, which is a dating pigeon sim game. And I purposely... No, it's a really insane game. I love it. Like, insane dating sims are my thing.
What?
Game Grumps just started it finally, too.
I know. I thought of you. I saw them start that. I was like, oh, look. I should tag Ray on this.
Oh, my God. Is this on Steam?
Yes,
this
it is.
Insane.
Okay. So what I did is I went ahead and played through about, like, the basic routes that you need. I did not play any of the special routes yet because I wanted to unlock the bad boys love ending, which is utter insanity. Like it's been so long since I played it. I think it's been 10 years. The only thing I remember is at one point it turns into a JRPG, and I'm just like, it's not spoiling anything. It just gets really weird. Let's see,
Why am I
kind
not
of
surprised a pigeon? Surprised a
on.
pigeon dating game gets weird.
So good. Caught up on Invincibles, Falcon and Winter Soldier. Oh my gosh, so good. If you're not watching it, good. So good. So much better than I thought it would be. My Hero Academia, and then we have two new animes that we started with my husband. So I'm a spider, so what? Which is really good. Even if you don't like spiders, I'm not the biggest spider fan, but she's so cute. She's just this adorable little, like, I don't, she doesn't really look like a spider, especially because she has like antennae. Spiders don't have antennae. It's like her mandibles up there. I don't know. She's adorable, and basically it's another isekai, but something happens and her whole class is reincarnated into this RPG-esque world. But she's the only one as a spider. So it's like, how do I survive as a spider in this weird thing? And adventurers are coming in and wrecking my fucking webs and stealing my silk. What the
Those
heck?
bastards.
It's adorable. And then we saw Konosuba, which is basically like somebody who is sick of all the isekai crap. What isekai is when it's an anime where you go from your world into another world. And yeah. But basically, it's kind of like Slayers meet Oh My Goddess. It's really funny though. It's like the fan service isn't even like too obnoxious. Like it's like a tongue in cheek kind of like, ah, booty. Yeah, we know what you want, perverted boys.
It's like fairy
So
tale level.
yeah, actually about fairy tale level. It's not over the top. It's not even Gainax level. It's like just under Gainax bounce. So and then art wise, I started Godzilla painting that I did not get to work on at all. Back
It
there.
looks good so far. I like it.
Hurry up,
I
and
got the
your
basics in.
mouth
So
is
I just need to clean him up. Honestly, it's based off of what I think is some official pop art that I saw, like of a Godzilla collection. I'm like, oh, I want to do that. So
I forgot to mention that, like, a couple of weeks ago, we were able to see Godzilla versus Kong at my husband's parents' house because they're fully vaccinated and we had both gotten our Havsy shot. So they have a giant TV. So we were like, oh, this is almost a theater. And so we went and watched Godzilla versus Kong. So
Yeah, I'm planning
hooray.
on that one soon.
Another fun fact. Not only do I like Transformers, I'm a fan of Godzilla movies.
Oh, it's fun. I actually haven't seen any in so long.
Look, Ray.
Ooh,
I
yes.
colored it.
I colored it.
That's awesome.
For our audio listeners, Ray drew me stabbing Sylvanas Windrunner from the WoW series and was kind enough to send me a picture that I pulled into Procreate on my iPad and had to draw over to make a line drawing thing and then colored it. So.
Yay. Yeah, and then that's about it. I worked on some digital art, and then I finally got a request piece done that I'm glad it's done. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh.
Fair enough.
All right, so I wrote up a whole little thing for me called NFT for Dummies, so I won't get lost.
Awesome.
Yes. So I'll get into the meat and potatoes of this. So NFT stands for non-fungible token. Basically, there's a unit of data stored on a digital ledger called a blockchain, and this certifies the digital asset to be unique. The blockchain is tracked, provides proof of ownership that is separate from copyright. That's important.
Well, and fungible is such a funny word. But I
Yeah.
finally, in the research for this, looked it up so I know what exactly fungible is. So that was, I learned this.
So you don't have to create the original content to make the NFT. And NFTs can be any kind of digital file. So it doesn't have to just be art. It can just be written files. It can be music. It can be whatever. And now I just have a cat. They are just
Just
missing the
tail
cat is
back and
right
forth like a
here.
windshield
And
wiper.
Miss PETA, your tail is famous now.
Her mouth
So
is famous too because I heard her as she was walking by. She's like, "Shmeer!"
very loud. She's usually not up here, so it's usually Morpheus. So to make an NFT, you have to make a digital wallet to help pay for the fees. And there are some that are upfront and some that are not so upfront. And then most places you'll buy Ethereum because that seems to be the cryptocurrency of choice for NFTs. Then you'll connect your wallet to the NFT marketplace. You have to have your wallet in order to basically have an account because they use the wallet to verify. And then from there, you can go ahead and list your art. You can make a single or multiple version of it. And what I did find cool, which I think a lot of people are kind of intrigued by, is you can set a royalty amount. So once it's been sold, you get that percentage every time it's sold. So I think it goes anywhere from 10. It seems to average out about 20. Some of the higher end ones are doing 30. And once the payment's done, it is then minted and posted for people to buy or purchase, depending on what you decide to do. So notably, we had Nyan Cat sell for 600,000, and they've even done. Tweets, like the first tweet was sold as an NFT. In March, Christie's Auction House, which is like hoity-toity, we auction art to all kinds of like fancy, authentic artwork, did a auction for an NFT for the artist Beeple. Every day's the first 5,000 days, which sold for 69 million dollars. Just for the NFT. You don't get anything physical. And before the Christie auction, he was posting NFTs on the marketplaces and even offered a few for like $1, just to kind of build up anticipation for this. He's a very popular digital artist, so you might want to look him up if you're not very familiar. You've probably like seen some of his stuff and not really know recognized it before. So since there's no physical piece with an NFT, it's all digital. Though I will say people did make physical tokens for people who did buy his NFTs, just so you would have like a little box and kind of be like, "Oh, this is my special thing." So it can be stolen in meat space, just. You can't go in and take it. Somebody could break into his house and take the token, but they couldn't take the digital token. But say if anything happened to like, I don't know how realistic this is, but I saw some people saying like if anything happened to the server that it's stored on, you might not be able to display it or access it until the servers
Yeah,
restarted.
actually, and
That I'm not.
I did hear some interviews with people who had that had happened to them. Like they bought an NFT and then they couldn't access the file anymore because like if we took down our website, we had an NFT there and like that's how you got to see the file because it doesn't give you unique access to the file. It's just like you own that digital asset. So if the server no longer exists, I mean, you probably should have download it to
Backed it
your
up.
hard drive or right, like gotten some kind of thing in the contract. Like if you're going to buy an NFT, ensure access to the work that you technically own. Because, all of a sudden you can't see it. People are saying, oh, this is just stupid garbage and are really against it. And I'm not. I think it's another opportunity for artists to have greater reach. And get some money from selling art. And yeah, I mean, 'cause how often you go to a gallery or you go somewhere and you go to an art show and they're like, don't take any pictures of it. because it's diminishing the value, especially with like smaller independent artists. Like, you just take a picture of it and then you go home and you didn't buy the thing.
Yeah.
And this is a better analogy that I've seen. I like is it's like having a signed copy. No, it's not the only copy. People might have run off, you know, a million photocopies or prints of a piece of art. But this, especially with digital art, this is like mm-hmm. you bought the original or a limited edition because you have a token. It's like it being signed. And I think that's a good way to compare it to conventional ways of buying art.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? And this may be where they even got the idea for it. I don't even know if it's still an app that they use. It's called FOAP, where you would take pictures, like, basically with your phone, and you could sell them, like, for a couple of bucks each if somebody wanted them as a stock photo. It's kind of like selling a digital copy of the photo that you took. It's not the same, obviously, but that's kind of like, I could see where they might have.
Oh, it is very much the same thing, because digital photos and as well as artwork and music are all being NFT, but the only difference would be instead of having to watermark it or find some other way to prove when people are just using it and you're not getting any royalty, like
blockchain,
you have, it's in the blockchain, it is proven, yeah. It's in the ledger.
Yeah, so since you're buying a digital copy, not the original, it kind of creates a scarcity for it. Mm-hmm. If you're invested in that, you could go online, you could look at people's art, you could buy a physical copy, you could download it, you can get a print, or you can buy the super rare NFT that he only did like one or a limited run of. These are all different versions of the item. And basically from there, you could determine what version means enough to you to want to purchase. Like, how is this worth to me? I have a limited budget. I really like this artist, but I can't afford an NFT. But I can get a print from them and still support them and have this awesome art. And like maybe somebody with lots of money is like, I love this artist and I've just got a couple grand sitting around, so I'm buying the NFT.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what creating scarcity in an art space can do. So we do have a raid from Mike TV Live and his folks. Hello, everyone. Hello. Thank you and welcome. And our regular here, my co-host on Harrison Hearsay, Reverend Barney is here, and I did put an article in our notes because there is all this chatter about cryptocurrency and blockchain and how it's going to ruin the earth. And there's been a lot of buzz around this, and I've been looking into it as a cryptocurrency investor and also an environmentalist. And I will post links to the article in our notes and in our chat, but I think we should talk about that a little because I like this article I found. The problem isn't our energy sources. It's not what we're doing with it. I saw someone really going off on it last week, and in one of the really left-wing political channels, and how just evil it was. And I was like, dude, are you going to throw away your phone and all your devices? Because part of that is the waste. And we use all these nickel-cadmium batteries, and that mining has been worse than, you know, even our carbon emissions in a lot of ways. And this might give us the drive to fix some of this shit with how we produce our electricity.
Definitely.
Yeah, I actually just about to go into that because the environmental impact, like a lot of people in the art field, like, no, you can't. And that it does matter. Like there was an article I read about one artist who was specifically trying to lower his carbon footprint, but then he went ahead and made an NFT and basically undid what he was doing before to kind of offset. Like they tracked his blockchain that he used and it used more electricity than what he had previously offset. So, but on that note, And how it affects is because the blockchain uses multiple computers to verify the information. Those computers are using lots of electricity, which makes up the carbon footprint. Now, Ethereum has been in the process of upgrading to Ethereum 2.0, and that will use a proof of stake blockchain that will use less electricity because the computers will validate the block. They will just validate it instead of having to solve like intense puzzles to validate the transactions. So that is also something that apparently they had started in December of this year. So it's still like kind of being rolled out in places. What did you do, Kat? Oh my God, you got rid of my notes.
No,
I had things. Oh, there it is. Good. My cat is very insistent on being up here, and she's the antisocial one, so I don't know why. Now is the time.
She's helping.
She's helping the best way she knows. So anyway, people are aware who do the cryptocurrency. It is something that is being improved upon. But yes, some artists are like, no, that's an absolute no-go. And, you know, as an individual, you get to make that decision. Just that's fine. So why isn't everybody doing this? Well, first you need to invest in the digital wallet and the cryptocurrency. And the average price I saw was about $100 investment to make an NFT. And then you have to hope that you'll get at least $100 back to just break even and not even have profit.
Yeah.
Big name artists, of course, are gonna be able to use their name to obviously get more attention and go for higher amounts than the smaller artists. However, and there seems to be like a pressure on the smaller artists. Like there's FOMO going around. Like, don't miss out, guys. This is it. This is the gold rush. If you ever want to make it as an artist, you got to get in on NFTs right now. Bottom dollar. Go, go, go. Sell, sell, sell. It's very, very aggressive, almost like a pyramid scheme, kind of.
Yikes.
Yeah. It's just like the way it's just being pushed really hard. So, and if you're not really aware of like the fees and everything, you can easily get hung up on it. Like,
yeah.
And then finally we get back to,
Hey, gotta NFT, be really much more like, careful with investing in that.
Yeah. And then again, like the NFT is just like a digital version. There are token bots that can make an NFT of your work without you knowing about it. Like not just art, but these bots have tweets and other digital files minted and they auction them off without the original consent of the creator. There's even a Twitter, like specifically, there is a Twitter token bot that you put in a request like, I want this picture, and that bot will find that picture like on a Google image search and then make it into an NFT that you can then buy. It's kind of like Redbubble.
And
the art bots that they have, or they'll just like, oh, this piece of art seems to have a lot of likes and retweets. Even if it says, "Not, do not steal, this steals art," they will put it immediately in a Redbubble store and sell it.
Yikes.
So a lot of artists have also started privatizing their Twitters as self-protection against this. Because it's literally just that digital version, not the copyright, not the original, not... You don't necessarily are buying the consent of the artist.
This is why people are starting to watermark everything that's digital.
Well, that's been going on,
honestly,
for a very long time. Like I said, that was like how you used to make sure if somebody took a picture of your stuff, you know, or if you sent a picture out, all you could do was watermark everything. Like a friend of mine who had not only their recipe, but their they saw their recipe in a publication, and not only was it their recipe, they took their photo and were using it. She fortunately was able to get some compensation for that because she could prove that, and that's part of the appeal to a lot of people with like with crypto and in common with NFTs is you're not relying on laws and governments and banks and things to legitimize, you know, this data. It's all crowdsourced. This is how we prove it and keep it one place. So, yeah, you have to be a whole lot more vigilant about how it's being taken care of and standardized so that, you know, everybody, you're not buying an NFT that the artist doesn't even know exists, but you can contact the original artist. I mean, that's what I do if I see something on the internet that looks like, I think my friend drew that, and I'll contact them. And so it's kind of a self-policing responsibility I think we have and are going to continue to have with NFT until it is a little more standardized and the bots can't just easily sell at the same kind of value that was created in this universe.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think they're bad, but it's not for me. As a very small artist, that is not something I want to invest in. Mm-hmm. I don't have any... None of my favorite artists have really jumped on board to that. So I don't... None of them are like, I'm making an NFT, so I don't feel like I need to follow that trend. So I think
the upfront fee kind of reminds me of like going to an artist alley. Like, you have to reserve yourself a booth, but... At least with Artist Alley, it's a physical space and you're actually reserving yourself like a physical space. Whereas with this system, it's like, I'm buying in, which is very MLM. Just saying.
Yeah.
Well, it's only MLM if the people at the top are making money and nobody else is. That's kind of the backwards of what's happening with all the theft in the situation. But you're not buying the URL at all. You're not buying the space. That can disappear.
It's a different kind of item digitally entirely. The digital token, excuse me.
The digital token, yes.
So if you sell that digital token and you make back your money or whatever, great. If the market blows up and bottoms out, I hope you really liked that artist and the support, and this wasn't necessarily an investment for you because...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's happened with comics. I've had.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've been worth a whole lot and then worth absolutely nothing. And it doesn't matter if they're signed. That's only going to give me another 50 cents anymore because this artist isn't popular anymore. That's very much in the nature of art. And one of the really interesting things I found, it's kind of built right into the name with it being the whole non-fungible. Like, I learned what fungible was. Fungible is, like, gold is fungible because whether it is, you know, this keychain... Or this, you know, nail file, if they have the same volume, they are worth the same amount if they're gold. Like, it's you can do it by weight or whatever. And that's what fungible is. And that's something where cryptocurrency blows out and people just can't wrap their mind around. Well, it's not worth anything because if it's compared to this kind of dollar or that kind of dollar, it's like, but it's not dependent on that. It's the intrinsic value on itself and it's based on how it's traded to determine its value, which all money is. It's all made up. All the value we place on anything is made up. Like, I would, you know, pay somebody to make me this really cool dust tower. And, like, how much would you pay? Somebody would pay $5. Some person would pay $30. And then, depending what got paid, the price would change next week. That's just how currency works.
I mean, we touched on it when we were talking about cryptocurrency just in general about, you know, the island where their currency is literally like 1,000-pound stones.
Yep.
You don't move the stones. They just believe that it is worth something.
Yeah, it's all perceived value.
Currency, where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Yeah, so like if this is something you're really interested in, go for it. Just, you know. Be aware, definitely do your research. Like, if it's the artist that you're interested in, make sure like they know that they have an NFT, like that is theirs and they did the NFT and they will get the
buy it from them to help them make their NFT investment back, or maybe they'll mail you a piece.
Of them will give you a physical token, but like Beeple does, which is
pretty cool. it's all well and good if you want to be an art collector. But buy art that you like. I mean, come on.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, who knows what's going to happen with the market? And you want to be happy with what you purchased. It doesn't matter if everybody else thinks it's valuable, as long as it has value to you. There you go.
There you go. And like I said, that's for me. Like, I'm always going to buy art I love. It's really exciting if other people jump on and they think it's worth a lot of money. I don't think I would use NFT as an investment vehicle the way I am with crypto. However, I would absolutely buy NFT art from somebody who's like not an indie artist who's not local or accessible to me. And I throw money at people for digital art because, and you know, like I have Patreons and Kickstarters, and to me it's the same kind of investing in that person and their artwork so that I can enjoy it. And if I get a little, you know, token that says I have it, or if they just send me, like, how many times did you're a Patreon supporter and so you get a little digital icon you can use? Mm-hmm. Like, that's an NFT. It only has value because it's valuable to me and my community. Like, I just did Rock Runners. Frog Pants, Scott Johnson, has a Kickstarter right now for a card game. I want the card game. So, and part of the swag I'm getting is these little digital cartoons that I can put on all the shit I have. And that's an NFT. And I could make a copy of it and give it to somebody, but it doesn't have any value to them. But I'm happy to, like, support him with real money to get this digital asset.
Oh, it doesn't have a shiny blockchain backing it up either, but that's fine.
Exactly. But if it did,
it would be an NFT. Yep.
Then I could sell it to someone else and give him a royalty.
I do like the royalty aspect. Like, honestly, that's the only thing I've found that I was like, that is cool, because yeah.
Yeah. Being able to put your own work out and receive royalties from it without having to go through all the copyright and policing and lawyering up that involves.
Yeah. That's pretty neat.
That's mm-hmm. an accessibility right. issue for artists that it can help with if you find a way to make it a little more secure, or people just, you know, if buyers beware what blockchains they're letting take care of their price products.
Yep. So, Grills, what are you most anticipating right now?
I am anticipating getting back to my upholstery project. My plan this weekend was to try and get my chair put back together, but that kind of fell by the wayside under the waves of fever. I've got all the fabric that I need. I've got my, like, backing, oh Lord, I can't remember the name of it. My brain's still fried, everybody. I've got the stuff for the inside.
The foam.
There you go. The foam. I've got this, yes. The stuff for the inside. Oh, Lord. Okay.
Still recovering?
I just, you know, when your brain is simmering at 101 degrees for a day and a half, it takes it a minute.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to try and get that done. Well, or at least partially started. And then I wanted to make some tie-on pockets, a la Bernadette Banner. I just posted up on my Facebook today. I can speak, it's fine. She did a video a couple of days ago now, I think. It may have been during the weekend. About the travesty that is women's pockets. And so I watched it, yes. And I enjoyed it so much I shared it. And then I went back and rewatched one of her older videos that was still during 2020, where she made a tie-on pocket like they had back in, like,
whoa, sorry about that. Hold on.
Whoa.
The legacy of that sheep.
All right.
Whoopsie.
Well, I was trying to get the link to the video you were talking about to put in the chat for people. So
I can find it real quick. So she basically made herself this big old, it's like a 12 by 8 inch pocket that you can just tie onto your waist. And it's a historical, like, women used to wear them all the time. Before, like, the big trend of it, it goes into it in the video of, like, how it went from being tie on pockets to, like, actual interior pockets.
Just saying, we had something like that in the 80s. We called them fanny packs.
Yeah. But hers were hilarious because she had bought a pre-embroidered pocket that she was sewed together herself that basically said 2020 and had a dumpster fire embroidered on it.
Cute.
That was amusing. So I figure I could get some fancy looking fabric or some plain fabric and slap an applique on it and make myself a tie-on pocket.
Love it.
Because now I want one.
Right? I want to, like, get one and get our logo embroidered on it. Because, like, we've covered that topic about why women don't have pockets.
Yeah.
It keeps coming up.
Crumble.
So, what am I looking forward? I am looking forward to doing some sewing for a commission that I am very behind on. Sorry, Barney. working on it. Design is a challenge. Also, I'm looking forward to my second shot. For those of you that weren't here earlier, weren't understanding what we were joking about with Linda, she lost her weekend to her second Moderna shot, and I'm getting mine theoretically at the end of the week. I'm still waiting for the actual appointment. So, yeah. But it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it.
Yep.
That's all.
Better than COVID, I can promise you.
Better than COVID. And that's, you know, one of the craziest things I saw this week was somebody local who's been pretty out there and works in a bar and always very anti-masky, like overt about it, like to the point where, God, I was invited where she works tonight, and I'm like, I'm not going there. She got her shot and had horrible side effects, and she was posting it like, I'm so sorry for anybody who has had this. Oh, my God, it's so terrible. I never knew. And from her first post, I wasn't sure if she had it, and it was really hard to not be like, well, then. but it turned out it was just the side effects from the shot, so I'm like, geez, okay. Whatever. Yeah, hopefully
I could not imagine having all
mask.
Of that plus not being able to breathe. I at least could breathe.
Yeah, I
think
the
first my dad got was all intestinal.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nope. Yeah.
I posted the video on the notes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Stop with the. I keep clicking the wrong thing.
Yep. I've got another week after this one before me and Scott get ours, so that'll be a fun weekend.
Oh dear. Are you both doing it at the same time?
He's doing it Thursday, I'm doing it Friday. So we have it slightly staggered.
Slightly offset.
Which is why, like, on Friday, I'm like, I'm just going to buy soup and maybe, like, a frozen pizza or something. So we have it, like, we have soup and stuff in the house, but just so we have a little extra. I have pain medicine and all of that normal jazz, so.
Stay hydrated.
Probably should add some Gatorade on there. Yeah, but what I'm looking forward to is Friday night has become our date night because it's Winter Soldier and Invincibles. And then doing some more art and bleaching my hair so I can be a bright redhead as opposed to this auburn natural redhead, which is not nearly as exciting. All right. So remember, folks, you can... Oh, am I stepping on somebody? I think I skipped.
Remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next run will be on April 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Had the right date in there.
I know.
And in addition to the subs and bits we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons, who are the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free and they help our ranking, which helps other people find our podcast. Also, you can join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word.
And where can we find you girls on the interwebs?
Sorry, I have hair in my mouth.
So many studio cats.
So many studio cats. Okay. You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's M-I-S-C. You can check out my website store at madcapm.com.
I can be reached at 9of12, that's N-I-N-E-O-F-1-2, on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast.
All right, you can find me on Instagram under DappleDame and on Twitch as Ray Ino. I'm dating pigeons right now. All right, thank you everyone for listening, and good game!
GG!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.